everybody. It's Tuesday. And I told you I'd be changing the time of Ezekiel's wheel, the day of Ezekiel's wheel, 50-minute rev, because I just feel like when I do it on Mondays and Fridays, it doesn't really give you a whole lot of time to listen to Friday's rev. And so it gives me this opportunity. It's a lot better for me, actually, and I think for you, because it helps you to have an opportunity to listen and track as a front runner and stay up to date as far as what God is doing in your atmosphere. By the way, welcome to C2. We're officially here. For those of you who are a little bit behind in the spirit, that's what we've now entered into as of April 30th. Your next objective is to hit or to start entering into and heading towards the ninth of off. That's what your objective is. And so what's been happening in your world right now? What's been happening? Hey, Sonia, good afternoon. Thank you. Could you post that on the boards too, by the way, that we're here? So I want to welcome you guys. Welcome to the show today, the 15-minute rev, as we do these now on Tuesdays and Fridays. So I hope I didn't throw everybody off too much. It's just, I think, a need because Mondays are so jam-packed for everybody. And again, I did it to start giving you guys an opportunity to listen to Friday's rev. So I think it'll, thank you so much. So I think it'll help you guys to track with us. Hey, Susan, how have you been, man? Did you get moved? So anyway, hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a great Monday. Things are kind of calming down. I've got a great word as far as what we're at by the Spirit right now. Things are kind of calm. If the last 2 weeks of you have been tumultuous, the reasoning is because you were moving through a narrow place. You were moving into a new dimension of God to prepare you for this new next place that we're going into right now, which is the ninth of Av. We're going to be heading through our next doorway in the next 4 months. And so the more deliverance you get, the faster you move by the Spirit. So what's the 50 minutes rev title today? And if you notice, I put on here, if you look at the number 5 on my screen, 555 on the bottom, it stands for grace, grace, grace. And it's out from underneath the law of sin and death, okay, underneath the law of grace. You're not living by the law anymore. If you've moved out from underneath the tree of good and evil, you're living by grace in Christ, which is why he died for you, right? So hey, Kara, you made it. Good afternoon, everybody. So, you know, that's why he died for us. And so he's getting those who will listen right now, those who will get deliverance. He's moving us out from beneath the law of sin and death and underneath the law of grace. So for those of you still stuck underneath the apparatus of religion, you just forget I even said that, because you're going to stand by what you think you know. And I'm just going to follow and say what God says to help other people who want to grow. So God bless you anyway. We hope that you do. Anyway, what's the topic about today? What's witchcraft hitting you with the last 2 weeks? If you're aligned with Christ correctly, to enter into the new, you should have been feeling the enemy throw everything at you with the kitchen sink the last 2 weeks. A lot of stress, a lot of pressure. That was God moving you out of the old into the new. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. But out of the old and into the new, as you're entering into the new dimension of Christ. And if you're a front runner, this would be the new level in Christ's power and in his heart, which means that's a new place in the spirit where you should have been experiencing the weighty presence of God. So you should have been feeling a weightier presence of God's or spirit around you the last couple days. And matter of fact, a lot of us have been feeling exhausted. I don't know about you. I was exhausted for the last 2 days thinking, what is this? And I said, God, is this you? And he said, yes, it is. It's me. It's me. And so that's what told me we'd entered into a new dimension of his spirit. And so hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. The show is now on Tuesdays and Fridays, not Mondays and Fridays. I'm trying to give you enough time to watch the show over the weekend that we did on Fridays and to track with us. If you're wanting to track with the front runner ministry, this is a front running ministry, and to help you kind of maneuver through as we have now started C2. So welcome to the show. Hope you guys are having a great... Hey, Serge, how are you doing this afternoon? Welcome on Facebook. Love you guys on Facebook. Love you guys on YouTube. And so I get a lot more replays than I get the live, but I'm so happy with everybody that shows up because we love to help you move and help you keep moving through the heart of God. So pressure and stress the last 2 weeks were to distract you, hinder you, set you back, some of you financially, where the enemy could cause you to miss your moment of transition upward into the higher things of God. And so again, C2 is kicked off. So with C2, remember God has four chambers to his heart like you have four chambers to yours. C2 is the fire portion of his heart. So we're entering into a refinement season. And it's also a battle of the mind. So what does that mean for you? That means if God has given you a prayer assignment, usually he does this to help you navigate your way through C2, which is April 30th through September 15th. You're going to have to hold on with everything you've got. Hold on to your blessing. Hold on to your dream. Hold on to your prayer assignment. Do everything that you would normally do to navigate through. Stay on track. Keep your appointments with God. That's what's going to help you transition. That's what's going to help you transform. Because he's trying to teach you how to take your thoughts captive. How to cast down every high thing that exalts itself above the throne of God. Hello. So you've got holy fire coming at you for refinement purposes during this season, and then strange fire. He's going to allow them both to come in to test you to see if you can discern with last season's tools that you learned with, to see how much you've learned from last season as opposed to where you stand now. That's the purpose of C2. That's what we're here to teach you how to do. So God always gives us a prayer assignment to assist in the transformation process, no matter what level we serve on. And then as you've navigated through into the new, the last couple of days, the occult activity as of today, I would say, I think it started really actually yesterday, a little bit in the afternoon towards today, definitely today, but it's lessened as you've come up into the new place because Christ has started to hide you in his glory. So you're going to wait for God's next directive. That's what your next assignment is. You're going to wait for him. And you're only doing and praying and saying what you hear your father saying. Okay? That's the way you navigate through C2. You don't do anything. You don't operate in the flesh for sure, because that'll make you go around the mountain again. But stay in the spirit, only praying and saying what you hear your father saying and praying. And so the way to do that, if you're not sure what to do, you ask him to order your footsteps. Psalms 37:23. That's a perfect way to do that. So what also you should be experiencing in this place is that your authenticity level should have come up higher, that you have entered into a new place of identity, meaning that there are new levels of healing that are taking place so that you can love at deeper levels. Okay? That's what I've been experiencing. And so it's going to allow you to know who you are in him, where the old dysfunction and hurts of the past don't affect you like they once did. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm viewing my past completely differently as we come into this new place of his heart, which I absolutely love. I mean, and it's really actually very interesting to me. The deeper you come into the tree of life, how powerful it is to come up into love and get rid of you, or get rid of the flesh, to where it's more of him and less of me. There's a lot of truth in that. And you need the firepower. So with that, let's jump into the message today, which is based on Judges 17:1-18:31. The day's kind of quiet. I think it's a quiet kind of a Tuesday, which is a good thing from what we've been through the last couple of weeks. But this was during a time, the title of Judges 17:1-18:31 is, as goes the home, so goes the nation. And it was during a time where Israel was in trouble, or America was in trouble. Because as 85% of the body of Christ was stuck underneath the apparatus of religion, I've said it a million times, it was because they were doing everything that violated the law of God. And most homes in Israel were stuck in idolatry. They were stuck underneath the apparatus of religion. They were stuck in the flesh. They had no godly character. And most were establishing their own priesthoods, but were thieves, like we're seeing now with the Balaam's prophets, the evil kings, queens, and priests showing up on the scene, self-relegated vessels who appoint themselves as this or as that without being anointed by God, but they're anointed by the devil. So their own priesthoods were like thieves. Remember, Jesus kicked the thieves out of his own temple. He said, I'm not going to have you be a den of thieves. I'm not buying your ware. I'm not buying your brand of love. And so they were trying to call themselves God's anointed when they were only anointed by the devil. because they spoke both cursings and blessings and were more concerned about their monies than they were about God's sheep or their own lack of character. And God said, how will you know my people? By my love. That's what he said. And then that's what God told us. We'd be able to gauge his people by were their pureness of heart, Matthew 5:8. That those hearts would not be concerned with how they would be provided for. They were just here to serve. And they knew that God was fully able to take care of them if they maintained their right heart condition. I don't know about you, but you know, we're living in a time right now, like, because I can already sense, like, even on this broadcast right now, witchcraft is lower than it was where I was on the level prior. But they're still, like, they're hitting us with witchcraft in the mind. They're trying to hinder us from being able to think like God, see like God. And I'm going to get into that here in a second, where you are entering into a new place in God's spirit where you don't have to rely on your own faith anymore. You don't have to rely on your own fivefold giftings anymore to do what God's got you are going to have. Correct grammar. You're not going to have access. And the reason is because God said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which means God said he was a door or a portal, if you will. But the Lord said that we could rely on his faith, Romans 3:22. And that's based on, you know how the church has learned how to decree a thing. So if that's the truth, then, and a king decrees a thing, and I've always used that in the courts of heaven, but if you know anything, we're called to pray a thing in through decreeing the word. But when a king decrees a thing through me, through his faith in me, Romans 3:22, Daniel 6:8, that means things are fixing to change on earth as they are in heaven. Leaders, take note of that. For those of you who have higher level ministries, because you can decree a thing now through Christ in you and let him start warring through you against the seven mountains and the coup that's going on right now. This is huge right now. The new place that we're staying or stepping into. The new level of learning to rule and reign with him. But let's go back to our initial conversation about, and I'm tired of people coming to me saying, and I've heard from some of you leaders out there, please quit saying things like, well, you know, you're not love-based. I'm going to get into that here in a second too. I'm going to tell you how you're being manipulated by the devil. But today, we're going to talk about the issue because God's trying to get the sheep who will listen in those three other people groups to do a hard right. He's trying to help you. I have a double portion of truth on my sword. Doesn't mean I'm not merciful. I just say only what I hear my father saying. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person for telling you the truth, but I am here to tell you what he's saying. But he's here to try to go after the one sheep, the few sheep who are left back in the other three people groups, because he loves them. He loves them if they'll listen to truth. And a lot of them are really confused because they don't know what voice to listen to right now. There's so many voices out there, and now the enemy has convoluted the message with the Balaams and with the false prophets, the false teachers and preachers. It doesn't help the conversation. So the problem in Israel's day, as we're seeing today, was that there are a lot of hirelings. There are a lot of hirelings that were coming onto the scene who were not anointed by love, but by the devil. And you've got to know one thing is when there's a new move of God coming on the scene and God is trying to teach his children how to rule and reign with him, especially through a new move, the enemy will always send in the counterfeits. He has to squelch it. He's trying to squelch it. So he's trying to send in vessels that look like, sound like, talk like. They know all the jargon, but they're not anointed. They're self-appointed. Okay? So you've got to have a strong discernment, which was the reasoning as to why God wanted you to get free. Less of you, more of him, so that he could flow through you and help to guide you into these heavenly places, if you'll listen. So Satan sends in his own people in order to confuse the church because he knows how immature the church is spiritually, but also how immature they are in spiritual knowledge. Satan knows the true sons and daughters are rising up now, that they can't be stopped. So of course he's going to send in the fakes or the tares to confuse those with itchy ears to make sure they never get free from his devices. Do you think he wants to lose any souls from going to hell? No, he's out to take you down. You're kidding yourself if you don't believe that. He's out to take you down. And I've had leaders say, no, God is here to preach a love message. And da-da-da. Of course he is. He's love. Of course he is. But he's also the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Don't mix your mandate with mine. I love you, but don't do that. That's the problem in the church right now, too. We have too many leaders trying to mix their mandates, and they have, we're going to get into that here in a second, too, but they have manipulative sheep coming to them to try, they run from truth vessels to mercy vessels to manipulate them because, and they try to mix the mandates up because they know the church is confused right now. People are not staying in their own lane and not understanding that it's not my business to tell you how to run your ministry, nor is it yours, mine. This one, this ministry is very unique. We're here to help you get cleaned up, but we're also very truth-based. It's kind of like a little John the Baptist ministry, if you will. But, you know, I'm just here trying to tell you what I think I hear my father saying. And if you want to get free, great. If not, great. That's between you and God. But we've got a lot of people with itchy ears. And the sad part about this is that that keeps their heart bound to a bad heart condition because of a lack of character, because they won't come higher into love so that God can show them a better way. We've got a lot of people who are so tired right now, a lot of people in the church that they just don't care. They've lost sight of where God was trying to take them initially. And so they've lost sight of the assignment that God put, the dream that he's given them, the vision, the mandate. Hello, the enemy's coming at your vision. He's coming at your mandate in this season because he knows people without a vision perish. You need to ask God to protect your vision, protect your mandate. Because if you lose sight of it, the enemy's trying to block it. He's trying to block your ability to see. He's putting spiritual masks on people. You need to strip them off. 2 Samuel 2:21. You need to strike down the obstacles that are standing in between point A and point Z in your walk, hindering you from entering into your promised land blessings. Do you really think, remember God told you about the three people groups that we were going to deal with last Friday? We were going to deal with the proud. We were going to deal with the fearful. We were going to deal with the covetous. People that want what you want, but they don't want to do what you've done to get what you've got. And I'm sorry, that doesn't qualify you to go where I'm going if you don't want to get off your duff and do your part, because I can't walk your walk in mine too. So, Lord's saying in this season, there is no more room for a do-it-yourself religion. There's no more room for that, not in this season. There's no more room for the apparatus of religion. And this is no different from today, where people are doing what was right in their own eyes, than it was in Israel's day. Because the reason that they're doing the do-it-yourself religion is so that they don't have to be accountable to do what God's asking them to do and what he says is right. They want to do what's right in their own eyes. And God's like, nope, it's my way or hit the highway. And God's not changing anytime soon. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're either going to uphold his standards, we're going to move into his standard of love, the way he does things, and we're going to start practicing Bible and living it out. Or we're going to get stuck in our flesh and we're going to receive its consequences. But I'm choosing to serve him. You do whatever you feel led to do. I'm choosing to serve him. So the scary drawback to this truth, to me, is when you do what's right in your own eyes, it's kind of like a speeding ticket. You can either pay now or you can pay later. And I don't know about you, but when you choose to be irresponsible and you pay later, there's a whole lot more dire consequences that follow. So God's warned us. He's warned us what's coming. The darkness is getting darker. The light is getting lighter. Where do you stand on this mountain? Are you dealing with the pains and the trauma of the past? Because, you know, you can pay now or you can pay later. And if you pay later, it can really cost you because of how the enemy affects you or can affect you. And you don't believe in that. But I've already been on the lower sides of the mountain, and I've already experienced what the enemy can do at the lower sides of the mountain, and I hate the warfare there. So yes, of course I got free. I've focused on it, and it's become my main life focus now, continually moving in transformation to where we help people get free. Who will listen? So for those hearts demanding to stay in darkness, they're the ones who will be paying for their own irresponsibility and not taking care of what God told them to take care of. He's warning you ahead of time. Do as I'm asking you to do so I can bless you. He wants to bless you. So the other part of the problem in Israel's day, as it is today, is that there was corruption in the home, which brings corruption in society. Which is why God is starting in the church to try to force deliverance so that his own body can get cleaned up. He wants us to be mature sons and daughters. We can learn to rule and reign. But instead now, we're seeing a bunch of terrors or fakes show up on the scene. They're running around operating in plastic Christianity who only have leaven to offer. And you've heard of the statement in the scripture in the Bible, a little bit of leaven spoils the whole pot. You've heard that? So that the entire lump can get polluted if leaders don't force vessels to get free. They don't say, hey, you need to go through deliverance ministry if you're going to stay here. Because I'm not going to have you polluting and doing your own thing here. You're not going to usurp authority. You're not going to try to force your vision upon the vision that God has given me as a leader. That's not what God told me to do. You've not been given this ministry. We've had a lot of people who think that they could do it better when, and they're self-appointed, not anointed. And so, I mean, and it's kind of insulting. Not that I really care, because I'll just ask you to leave, but or they usually end up leaving on their own because they don't want to submit to authority, which is the problem in the church right now. Everybody wants to do their own thing. And then what never fails, I'm telling you this, man, almost 100% of the time, we get farther down the road and almost all those people come back. They make contact with me saying, Dr. Missy, I'm really sorry about what happened, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I've already forgiven you, man, but I've moved on. And it's because we make choices. Choices have consequences. And, you know, I have to tell you, too, in this time and season, some doorways only come around once. And it's because of how fast God is moving. So you don't want to give up your positioning in him if he's told you to do a certain thing. Even if you don't feel like things are happening the way you thought that they would happen, or you have your own plan and God has another, and you maybe haven't had a household. Maybe you haven't been raised in a household with a father who is the head of your household, and you don't understand that concept. But God's a good God. He's a loving father. He's not here to browbeat you. He's not here to beat you up. But it can be daunting for a heart who's never had it. I can understand why people get offended and they're like, who do you think you are? I can't believe you told me that. Well, I can't believe you bring that crap into the church. You wouldn't bring it into your job, would you? Because you know you get your butt fired. So why on earth would you bring it into the house of God thinking that he wouldn't take notice or he wouldn't rebuke you? So these are the things that we're seeing right now happen in the body of Christ, where God is raising up leaders who will rebuke these sheep. They're like, clean it up or move on. We don't care. We don't care. I'm not in it for the money. Trust me. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to help people. But I have an entire different people group over here that are doing the right thing, who are submitting to authority that I'm obligated to protect, because I'm not willing to let your sinful nature come in here and pollute that entire group, because God's doing a new move. And this is part of that new standard. So either adhere and comply or move on. Stay stuck between you and God. So, message to the true prophets and apostles. The enemy sent in Jezebel into your camps, which is deadly to your own ability to move higher into the tree of life. And if you allow that spirit to stay, if you don't start correcting it, it will pollute your ministry and slow your ability to run in Christ. It'll slow you down. It's strategically sent in. It's the leaven that's sent in to pollute the whole vine, which is why God said not to tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. You want to know why? Because Jezebel's the front runner for the Antichrist spirit. It is trying to grab hold of as many souls as it can to take them on a freight train to hell as fast as it can, because its main objective is to steal their identity. Hello, you're called to be sons and daughters of a king. You're called to know. He's trying to show you who you are and whose you are. He showed me that 25 years ago. So this is why we're entering into a season now where God is not really, really caring about how you feel. He loves you. But he's sending in truth prophets, double-sided sword of truth, and then double mercy on some. But the truth are sent in. John the Baptist was a major truth prophet. And he would whack you down to the quick with the truth. He would tell you the truth. Because that was he was the front runner for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the first move that God ever brought into the earth. You killed it about actually Moses was. Actually Adam was. So, but Jesus was the major move towards grace. The new move towards getting people free from the law and underneath the law, or excuse me, the tree of life, back underneath the tree of life. And so this is where God is trying to bring us back as a people group right now. And this next statement even includes leaders, but you know, it's interesting to me because people get really, really mad at me as a leader for telling them the truth when I correct them, when they know that it's the truth. They just haven't been taught that God is, you know, he set people in position for reasons. He set leaders in positions for reasons, and it's to guide and guard the sheep. And so my obligation is not just towards a few of you. It's towards all of you who God has set underneath my vessel. It's towards the whole people group. So I have an obligation as a leader towards the Lord. I'm accountable to him for that. And as are most leaders, all leaders. But the interesting thing about the spirit of Jezebel now is I'm noticing that the reason the enemy's sending it in is because of its ability to insert false doctrine as well as traditions of men into those bodies that God is trying to use with might in this hour. You've got to guard your vessel, prophet. You've got to guard your vessel. Guard the anointing and ask the Lord, because by the way, that spirit of Jezebel, that spirit of witchcraft that operates with it, is sent in at the highest level. It's trying to attain the highest platform, and it's trying to shut down voices like mine who out it, because we're outing it now. We're outing it big time. And if you get that tweak in your spirit, like there's something wrong when I listen to this person, I don't know what it is, you get the heck out of there. Because that spirit pollutes other vessels through its words, its bitterness of soul. How do you think that a spirit travels? Spirit travels on the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But if you've got an unholy speaking spirit trying to impersonate or mock the Lord, it's a spirit of witchcraft, basically. It's the devil trying to have power through a vessel. But it's an unholy anointing, because it's usually a Balaam's prophet or a witchcraft spirit. Do you remember what Paul did in Acts 16:16 through 18? When that girl kept mocking him, she goes, "We know who you are. We know who you are." We was the first indicator. We know. We as in you and that whole legion behind you. Come out of them right now. I said, come on out. That's the first indicator. Use the word we. That means you're not singular in there. We got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Time to come out. Time for liftoff. You got to go. You got to go. So, hey, good afternoon, James. So anyway, a lot of Jezebels coming in right now, inserting false doctrines, traditions of men. And so we've got a lot of these people. And you know what else I've seen? I have to say this too. Have you seen those lists now? You got to listen to the list too. Not all of them. By the way, I don't listen to all the lists because some of them are just ridiculously stupid. These people are so freaking stuck in a spirit of religion, it's not even funny. But I ran across some of these yesterday. I was looking online for something else, and this came up on my search feed, talking about the false prophets and the false, all the lists as though this person were the authority head on this. And everybody they had listed was all the anointed people. And I'm thinking, dude, whoever wrote this, Idiotsville. Because they are so stuck in a spirit of religion, they can't even discern the truth from a lie. And this is what we're talking about. So you've got it on both sides. You've got to be able to discern the truth from a lie right now. And so it's really, 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 it's just imperative in this day and time right now. And so in order for you to keep climbing, you're going to have to get rid of familiar spirits. You're going to have to get rid of spirits that hold you to your bloodline cursings, if you have any. It's time to get free to where these things are stopped from hindering you from climbing. And the Lord said, the reason why I don't want you to tolerate Jezebel is because the spirit operates in secret and never wants you to know it's operating. And once it's outed, that spirit will raise up on a dragon, like a dragon, against those who are outing it. So for those of you leaders who have outed the spirit that was operating on this prophet, on this false prophet, you need to be binding their decrees over you, because they're Balaam's. Balaam will speak blessings and cursings over you. They'll speak early death assignments over you to try to take you out in their malicious spirit and their vindictiveness. I'm telling you that Jezebel's spirit operates in a spirit of murder. And when the devil is outed, it gets really ticked off. And so it's like a roaring dragon trying to take out the true vessels of God. So you need to be breaking off word cursings, evil decrees, prayers prayed amiss, because it's operating under the tree of good and evil. And if you're in the courts of heaven, strike down every word from all those vessels who are still operating under the tree of good and evil. And you'll take out most accusations against you in the courts. You'll feel it fall to the ground. You'll feel it fall to the ground. So it's absolutely astounding right now what's happening. But the Lord is outing these people, doing these things in secret. And the Lord is saying, had these tribes stayed true to me, they could have possessed and enjoyed their inheritance. But like the fourth people group that I'm now moving into the promised land blessings, these people have chosen. They're not like fourth people group at all, but they're choosing to stay behind. And the Lord's saying, this wasn't my plan for you. So how does this affect the new tribes, the sons and daughters that God is rising up today? Most of the tribes have learned to pray the word, but are stuck in witchcraft, where like the tribe of Dan. Now this is interesting. Because of their unhealed hearts, they operate in leaven. They don't know which battles to fight or when to back off, and hence everyone's their enemy. Everybody's their enemy. If you disagree with them, oh, you're an enemy. God didn't look at anybody like an enemy. Jesus never looked at anybody like an enemy. He tried to witness even to Pontius Pilate. He tried to talk to everybody about love. He was love himself. And so they lack love. And if we're only following love and listening to love, love will always go ahead of us and deal with those spirits trying to hinder our movement. Meaning we don't and we won't have to engage and fight every spirit that wants to fight us, because we know which battles Jesus wants us to engage in. Hence, we're only listening, praying, and engaging in the things the Father's instructed. He's got the rest taken care of. You don't have to fight your own battles. And if you remember, too, the tribe of Dan were warriors who didn't know how to stop fighting, so they didn't enter into the promised land. They didn't listen to God because they were too busy trying to create their own do-it-themselves religion. Remember, when we talk about the 12 gates of the outer courts versus the 7 gates of the inner courts, your goal is to get out of the outer courts and into the inner courts. That's your goal. How do you do that? You do it through deliverance, first of all. But as you're moving through the seasons of God's heart, you have to look at the weaknesses of each tribe that you go through monthly, because those weaknesses are going to affect you. They affect every believer. So you've got to make sure you're delivered from that tribe's weaknesses, because God's trying, those are characteristics of God's people, by the way, of God's heart. They reflect his heart. That's his personality. You're trying to be molded and made into his image, but he's trying to get us rid of ourselves. These are also parts of our own bloodlines and our own family lineage. And so we don't want to do it ourselves, religion. So we don't want to be doing what's right in our own eyes instead of what God says is right. And what was the problem in this generation with Israel, or also with Dan, is that they did it openly. They were openly disobedient, and they're still doing it to this day. Still resisting God in their arrogance towards the Father, basically telling him, hey, look, I've got this covered. I can do this. I can do a better job at being God than you. I don't need you. That's what they're basically saying to him. Look at my temporary blessings. Now check this out. And they're saying, look at my temporary blessings. The key is temporary. Look at what I've done for myself. Look what I did. Look, I. There's no I in love. Love is others oriented. The only problem with this is that these so-called blessings that they've created is that if God didn't create and give them to these fleshly religious warriors or people, these Balaams, they won't last long, because God's not obligated to maintain anything he did not establish. That goes for all self-appointed priests, Balaam's false prophets, or anything else these terrors have created. Because if it's not built on the rock, God will not maintain it. Go read your word. Go read the Bible. But the good news is that God is bringing all those who will listen back home to his heart now. He's trying to get the body of sheep to listen, saying, hey, your ways aren't my ways. And this morning, it's interesting because the Lord was talking to me about the things that he holds dear to his heart. And he was talking to me about the fourth people group as they're making their way into the tree of life upward God's on God's mountain. And we're finding that God is taking us deeper into love now. So you should be loving deeper. You should be experiencing this even in your love walk now. Your capacity, and I found this interesting too, because the Lord said, you can't love without me. You can't breathe without me. That's the truth. I talked about that on Friday. We can't do anything without him. So the body has fallen so far away from love now that we're entering back into this place of love. And I really am seeing this become a reality and how God says that we can't love without him. We can't breathe without him. We can't do anything without him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And I literally am feeling this deeper sense of love like I used to have when I was a kid. But guess what? He's taking us even deeper. 1 Peter 1:22, love one another deeply as we move into his heart, which is why we're trying to teach you about the heart of God. So your love levels should be deepening as he moves you into his spirit. And this movement also includes a narrowing of our ways versus what God will tolerate as he draws us closer to himself, because our ways aren't God's ways. So as God has begun to move you into your new, you're going to find that some people in your atmosphere have chosen to stay in the outer courts, meaning you're going to be on two different spiritual pages. You can't walk everybody's walk for them. And you're going to find that you need to hold people loosely, because not everybody can go where God's taking you. Okay? Some people may not choose to come higher. They may not choose to get free. And if they're not willing to change, then did you really want to stay in that pot of crabs with those people where the water was boiling and they were boiling to death and you were the only one trying to get out? Hello, two wrongs don't make a right. You ever heard the old cliche, two birds of a feather flock together? Two wrongs make a right. Two peas in a pod. When one of those birds starts flying another direction, you send the other one catapulting because he can't deal with the changes that the first one's going through. That means you're on two different spiritual pages. That means it's time for you to start praying in new friends. And it's okay to leave the other one behind. It's okay. Because sometimes people move at slower speeds than other people, but it doesn't mean you have to take on their false guilt or their false accusation or what have you and say, oh, you're abandoning me. You're not a good friend. You're a good time, Charlie. You're a fair weather friend. No. It means that we're on different spiritual pages and God's got a job for me to do. And I'm not letting anything stand in my way, because you don't know how long it's been and how much crap I've had to walk through to get where I am. So no, I'm on a mission and I'm running a race and I'm going to finish what he's got me doing. So this new place that you're going to find yourself in, where you've chosen to come deeper and abide in him, is in his inner courts where the king resides. Okay, this new place is a place where the character of God is built with us as he adds his spirit to his gates within us as we come higher. Those attributes include thanksgiving. You should become more thankful. Submission, obedience, humility, forgiveness, righteousness. Lower dimensions of his heart. We're stepping into the last one right now. Actually, second to the last one, forgiveness. And then trust. So it is righteousness and then trust. And then we're moving into the higher dimensions of God as we hit June, July, heading into the ninth of Av, which include the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and then wrapping up in December and January with the fear of the Lord. It's into deeper levels of love and you enter the cycle all over again. Which brings us to John 3:1-21. It talks about birth from above. Birth from above. And let me do something while I'm on live with you right now. Father, we just take authority over any motions, pleadings, or orders that have been assigned over this rev, and we strike them down, Job 36:32. because they're under the tree of good and evil. Lord God, anything spoken from a voice under the tree of good and evil, we command it to fall to the ground. Lamentations 3, 37 through 38. Even anything affecting our audience group right now. Anything. Lord, you said no weapon formed against us would prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment against us shall fall to the ground. And Father, you said you're no respecter of persons. What you do for one, you do for all. So Lord, you're able to keep that which I've entrusted you until that day. Lord, minister to your people today. Minister to your people. Set them free, God. Set them free. And I ask you to station holy guards around us. Jude 1:19, Joshua 5:14, Luke 15:22. Angels, lock shields, impenetrable, Father God. So, we're entering into a new place right now. And I know this conversation is kind of calm today. It's a lot more calmer than as opposed to the last three revs I've had, because we're actually at a new level. I thank God for the calm. Thank God for the calm. Oh my Lord, thank God for the calm. Tired of all the warfare of the last 2 weeks. But we're talking about a new birth from above. Now check this out. You know, from your first birth, you're born from flesh and from water. But in your second birth, we're born from above. Or again, you're born of the Spirit, where God adds his supernatural. Hang on 1 second. Let me do it again. Let me do something else real quick. Father, we take authority over this. Lord, you said nothing can separate me from the love of God. Anything that's trying to disrupt the flow right now, we just strike it down, nullified. 1 Corinthians 1:19, Genesis 7:23. I erase the words that spoke it. I object Amos 3:3, Matthew 4:4, and I say, Lord, they're out of jurisdiction. 2 Corinthians 10:13. They're an evil king, queen, or priest. Their edicts matter not. We impeach them. Acts 5:25, 24, 12, and their evil counsels and all their indictments. Father, again, if God didn't speak it, they have to fall to the ground. They're under the tree of good and evil, Father God. They're not under the tree of grace. You said, if you live by the law, you'll die by the law. And I charge them for breaking the law of Galatians 3:23. Lord, they will not hold me custody to their law of apparatus of religion. I'm not going to stay stuck but with them. Lord, they can stay stuck and commit treason all day long. I'm staying true to you. I'm underneath the law of grace. 2 Corinthians 5:21, which you made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf so that I might become the righteousness of Christ, like that which is in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you right now that you're setting some captives free and you're setting some really deceived captives in check. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're able to keep me. You're able to keep this flow. You're able to keep this ministry. Based on Acts 5:39, if something's of God, you can't stop it. I'm not here to prove myself to anybody. I'm here to serve my King. Thank you, Lord. Let's get back to the topic. You know, we talk about our first birth versus our second birth, but the second one's the one that matters. We all know about it. We know about it. And so it's where God adds a super to our natural, but let me tell you the cool place about where God's moving you into. It's a place where we begin moving, we begin the process of moving out from underneath the tree of good and evil. You've heard me pray it just now. And out from underneath the law of sin and death. If you're operating in grace, which means you've chosen to be here. A lot of people think they're here, but they're still stuck underneath the apparatus of religion. How do you move? How do you move out from underneath those trees and into the law of life through Christ Jesus? How do you do that? Deliverance. Deliverance. I've said it a million times. Deliverance. You got to get rid of it. It's less of me and more of him. You got to make room for him. So if you think you're there, you're like, oh, that's me. But you have no prayer power. You have no power. You're still operating under the law of sin and death in the courts of heaven. It's not you. I got news for you. You're kidding yourself. And you need to have power. But because God won't give it to you because he knows you would abuse it. Look what some of you are doing. Not you, but I'm sensing this by the Spirit right now. It's witchcraft coming at me. So they're praying. And it's like, why would he give you more power? You can't even handle what little he's given you. What a joke. Get free. Go get free from you. So you can truly become a son and daughter of the King. So he's trying to teach us how to come out from underneath the law of sin and death and come underneath the law of life through Christ as a son and daughter of the King. Because it's in that place we begin to learn to rule and reign and come higher into him. So this is what's interesting about this. God begins us in a process of learning how to bring heaven into the earth realm as we come into the law of life through Christ, as we come into the tree of life. And it's through our prayer assignments. Remember, I told you, it gives you a prayer assignment at the beginning of the year. Some of you have been in those prayer assignments for a while. But it's used, those assignments are used as a way to bring the proof of heaven into the earth realm, to where God can use your vessels to create a few things. Stay with me. I think this is really, really cool, because those who understand the process of moving through God's heart understand that it's a transformation process as we learn to come up into spiritual places at breakneck speeds, which opens, check this out, opens you up to shortcuts which allow you to co-create faster and faster with Christ. All it takes is one time for you to break through, and it'll go faster and faster every time you do it afterwards. Meaning the more free you get through deliverance ministry, the more things you can bring into the earth realm around you from the third heavens and higher. Because the more of God you will house on your vessel. Hello, let me take you here. Remember I was just talking about Romans 3:22, which is the faith of Jesus. Okay, I never did anything in my faith. Matter of fact, the reason why I believe God has taught us these different levels of prayer, which we learned the first level, which was our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That was what most of society was doing at one season. Then it moved into binding and loosening. And then it moved into decreeing a thing, which was learning to co-create with Christ. That was the first step, I believe, in the becoming sons and daughters of the King, learning the co-creation process. But then the occult, the darkness started rising up against us. Now, if you're a leader listening to this, I hope you listen to this specific part, because this is really critical with where we are as a nation. The occult started rising up because the darkness is getting darker as the light gets lighter. So this is how good God is. God started raising a super on our natural, and he started moving us out from underneath the tree of sin and death, or good and evil, excuse me, the tree of good and evil, underneath the tree of life, where we would be covered by his glory. He's adding more super to our natural now. We're underneath the law of life through Christ Jesus. Well, you know what you can do under that law? If Jesus has his own faith, he's rabbi, and I have my faith, and he's adding his super to my natural, guess whose faith I get to now start using? Guess whose faith is going to move the mountains out of the way? It's Romans 3:22. That's the faith of Christ. And then check this out. Remember, God's taught us to decree a thing. You've heard of the scripture of Daniel 6:8. When a king decrees a thing, you got the king living in you. When a king decrees a thing, it's done. Meaning it's done. Then all you have to do is hold on to it and co-create with him. It's done. My faith never moved any mountains. A lot of people take credit where credit is not due. It's Jesus in you that is the one that moves the mountain. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's adding a super to our natural. That's what he's trying to teach us. That's the new place we're stepping into. And so, I don't know about you, but when God takes up room in my vessel, what I've learned is that no king likes to be apart from their kingdom. So he's going to start creating a few things through me. And they don't like, and if you know anything about the Father, he's a good father. No father likes their children looking like they're paupers. So instead of being dressed in grave clothes, he wants you to emulate success under a heavenly king's rule and care. He wants you blessed. You don't serve a broke God. And I don't know which king you serve, but I serve one that's rich. Rich in love, accountability. Let me stress the accountability. Rich in nobility, nobility. I'm saying it twice on purpose. He's coming back for a pure-hearted people, Matthew 5:8. He's rich in finances, resources. So why would I ever worry about my future? Why would I ever want to try to bring my own version of my self-proclaimed religion into the scene, into the conversation, when he's got it all covered? So we're wrapping this up. I'm going to keep moving forward because we're getting behind. I'm almost through. About 10 more minutes. But this is why Jesus is called the love gift. Because Jesus is our bridge back to the king. We can rule and reign through him in order that the world might know our king or know him. This is why God must increase and we must decrease in order that heaven may come through us, just like Jesus There's another key here I'm fixing to give you. Do you know that right now, Jesus is, he's the way, the truth, and the life, right? He's a door. John 14, 17. Go look it up yourself. He's a portal. If I abide in him and he abides in me, I can ask what I will and he'll do it. We make shortcuts to places. But there are also portals for good and evil. So just like God's kingdom has portals and doors, through him we can do all things through Christ. So does the enemy's. So if you're operating in the spirit of love, Jesus can open up doors that no man can shut. And he can shut doors that no man can open. You can do it through him. You can walk through him into new heavenly places, saving you so much time in warfare. You just got to get free so love reigns in you and not you. So when people love the darkness more than they love the light, what they're basically doing is staying away from the light for fear that their sins are going to be exposed, which they will. And they're afraid they're going to get punished, which they will. Because sins have consequences. God says the sins of the wicked will be exposed. Ephesians 5:11. So you need to understand too, though, and this is where I was talking a little bit about in the beginning of our conversation while we wrap this up today, free leaders. This message that God has me preaching is not a punishment message, okay? Don't mistake the two. It's a truth message. And the problem within the body right now is that we have a lot of manipulative sheep. And the Lord's saying, don't misconstrue the truth because all leaders aren't preaching your mandate, okay? Every leader has a different mandate. Every ministry, every true ministry of God has its own mandate. And the Lord says, I'm weary of leaders trying to impose their mandate onto other ministries because we all serve the greater purpose for kingdom. So God doesn't want the truth convoluted. And the reason he doesn't want it convoluted and the reason he's given us each different mandates is so that he can cross-pollinate the body very, very quickly to get them somewhere very quickly. But the problem is that we have so many dysfunctional sheep that don't want to change or are too arrogant that think that they don't need to change. I think they're okay. Everybody thinks they're okay. They have this little measure of kingdom. They have this little bitty fivefold gifting. And they think that's enough. When I don't want to use my, I don't want to just be stuck in my fivefold giftings. I want to add, let God add his super to my natural. I want to use his eyes. I want to use his ears. I want to use his prophetic anointing. I want to use everything I get in the tree of life. I want it all. He said I could. He said you could. So I'm not stuck. I'm not limited. I'm not going to stay limited and earthbound in my earth suit. You can. But the problem with a lot of sheep is a lot of us, when we're younger, we don't know that we have these other opportunities to come higher. And we've never been taught that because of doctrines of demons and traditions of men. But now, because of the limitations placed on the sheep, self-imposed, by the way, where they're given these fivefold giftings and they think that they have this little measure of eyesight into someone else's life around them. They think that they're a tell-all be-all. And God's like, get over yourself. You're limited. You're stuck in the natural. Let me add my super to your natural. So when you correct them, then they get offended. And because they don't think they need to change, they run to ministries with a mercy mandate and they try to manipulate it, especially if they operate in Jezebel. It's so that there's no accountability. And it's so they can remain a victim when God wants to get them free. You're not a victim. None of you are victims. Only if you choose to stay that way. The truth hurts, but it'll also set you free. And those that do what's right come to the light gladly so that all can see that they're doing what God wants them to do, not what they want to do. Which moves us into Psalms 104, 1 through 23. There's a lot of things coming in now. God's moving us into these new dimensions, these new keys. Jesus is the key, by the way. He's the way, the truth, and life. He has the key of David. And he's using it in the house of David. A lot of things, a lot of keys in the house of David. Hallelujah. So let's keep praising God even when life shows us blemishes. And the Lord's talking to me about this next session. He's talking about a grateful heart despite what we see. Because it's easy to get caught up in a world full of faults. It is. I think it's easy for the church to get caught up in the faults of other people. And that's not the purpose of this message. I'm not trying to point out your faults. I'm just trying to say this is the issue that we're running into so that you can get free. Because God wants you to come higher. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to emulate love and emulate kingdom. But that's not my heart. I'm not trying to bash anybody. But it's easy to see people's faults. And I believe the new place God has taken the body is to help us see each other through his eyes of love despite our faults. But because we live in a natural world, we often forget that the heavenly kingdom of God has given to us. The heavenly kingdom of God is given to us. But it also doesn't explain our limitations. And so the reason we don't see the heavenly kingdom of God is because we're in this earth suit. We're in this earth realm right now. And in all things, Lord's saying, despite life's challenges, despite your relationship challenges, despite your limitations, I still want you to see the good in everything. And the way to see the good in everything is to count it all joy, to be grateful. And so that I can bring you up above it all. How do you come up above it all? You come up above it all by starting to praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that. Lord, we need to be grateful in all things, knowing that God is able to use all things for heavenly purposes as he molds our hearts into his own. And sometimes that can be harder as opposed to other times, because sometimes our testing's tough, which is why we have to continually ask to see life through his eyes, as he helps us to maintain our perspective. Because the trees of the Lord are all well cared for. God is a tree. Jesus is the tree of life, as are you. You're a tree. The question is, which tree will your heart choose to connect to and operate through? You have to choose that. I can't walk your walk. I can just say, hey, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way God is saying today. And hopefully that this message today has helped to confirm some things for you, to help you continue walking. Because it's been tough. I don't know about you. The last 2 years have been tough. The last 30, if you're a Joseph, have been even tougher because you're a front runner. But God's saying now is not the time to give up and to lose sight of the vision. He's given you a dream. And let me tell you, the last 35 years that he's been the last 30 years that God's been teaching me how to co-create things with him, how to decree a thing, decree a thing, decree a thing, have been absolutely remarkable in what I've seen him do. So he does finish what he starts. He's a God that does not lie. Don't quit now. Don't let fatigue hit you, because as a Christian, you shouldn't even experience fatigue. You should never experience that. You go from faith to faith and glory to glory as God continues to rewrite your story. Okay, we're going to wrap up with Proverbs 14:20-21, where he states that the poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. And it's a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind. You know how to look at every heart through his eyes, how to accept people no matter what the walk of life they come from. Do you make the CEO feel as important as you do the janitor? Or you think more of yourself than you ought? Because let me tell you, God is into all that. He won't promote if you're self-promoting yourself. Why would he? Because you're abusing what little bit of power he's already given you. So as we wrap this up today, I'm going to entreat you, think about gratefulness and start praising your way through, but also considering where you want to be in the future. Consider what he's saying today, because he wants you blessed. He wants you to emulate heaven. He's not trying to withhold blessing from anybody. He's just trying to grow up a people group that says that they're his. He's coming back for mature sons and daughters, or a mature bride. With that, I hope you're blessed today, guys. Thank you. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I hope you enjoyed the 15-minute rev. We've moved to Tuesdays and Fridays. That'll give you time to listen to Friday's message over the weekend and then on Monday. Don't forget, we're here. I try to be on by 1:30. It doesn't always work out that way, but it is what it is. But I hope you enjoyed the message. And if I don't see you the rest of the day, know that I love you. And I'll look forward to seeing you here on Friday. I'm hoping to do a compass tomorrow. Maybe, maybe not. If I don't have a word, I don't bother. But be looking forward anyway. I love you guys. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.